אנחנו קוראים בספר כתבי בעל הסולם.
We are reading in the writings of בעל הסולם.
67. מאמר השלום בעולם.
The article Peace in the World. We are in the last subheader. Pain versus pleasure in self-perception. You can find the study material in the Arvut system and on the site. You can ask questions live through the sites. Anyone asking a question during the lesson should stand up. In the study hall, should stand up, hold the microphone close to his mouth, and speak loudly and clearly.
So,
pain versus pleasure in self-reception.
Yeah,
it's the last header.
The last. Mm-hmm. Okay, please.
Thus, when we examine and thoroughly grasp the above plan, we will see that the whole difficulty lies in changing our nature from a desire to receive for ourselves to a desire to bestow upon others, as those two things deny one another. At first glance, the plan seems imaginary, as something that is above human nature. But when we delve into the matter, we will find that the whole contradiction from reception for oneself to bestowal upon others is nothing but psychological. For in fact, we do bestow upon others without benefiting ourselves. This is so because although self-reception manifests itself in us in various ways, such as property, possessions that the heart, eye, and palate covet, etc., all those are defined by one name, pleasure. Thus, the very essence of reception for oneself that a person desires is nothing but the desire for pleasure. Now, imagine that if we were to collect all the pleasures one feels during his 70 years of life and put it on one side and collect all the sorrow and suffering one feels on the other side, if we could see the balance, we would prefer not to be born at all. If this is so, then what does one receive during one's life? If we assume that one obtains 20% of pleasure in his life compared to 80% of suffering, then if we put them one opposite the other, there would remain 60% of suffering unrewarded. But this is all a private calculation, as when one works for oneself. But in a global calculation, the individual produces more than he receives for his own pleasure and sustenance. Thus, if the direction were to change from self-reception to bestowal, the individual would enjoy the entire produce he produces without much pain.
I don't see.
I don't see that everyone understood what he writes. Let's read again.
Pain versus pleasure in self-reception. When we examine and thoroughly grasp the above plan, we will see that the whole difficulty lies in changing our nature from a desire to receive for ourselves to a desire to bestow upon others, as those two things deny one another. At first glance, the plan seems imaginary, as something that is above human nature. But when we delve into the matter, we will find that the whole contradiction from reception for oneself to bestowal upon others is nothing but psychological. For in fact, we do bestow upon others without benefiting ourselves. This is so because although self-reception manifests itself in us in various ways, such as property, possessions that the heart, eye, and palate covet, etc., all those are defined by one name, pleasure. Thus, the very essence of reception for oneself that a person desires is nothing but the desire for pleasure. Now, imagine that if we were to collect all the pleasures one feels during his 70 years of life and put it on one side, and collect all the sorrow and suffering one feels on the other side. If we could see the balance, we would prefer not to be born at all. If this is so, then what does one receive during one's life? If we assume that one obtains 20% of pleasure in his life compared to 80% of suffering, then if we put them one opposite the other, there would remain 60% of suffering unrewarded. But this is all a private calculation, as when one works for oneself. But in a global calculation, the individual produces more than he receives for his own pleasure and sustenance. Thus, if the direction were to change from self-reception to bestowal, the individual would enjoy the entire produce he produces without much pain.
Rav, you mentioned a situation that in general the person has already created לעולם כולו, והוא צריך לעבור איזה תהליך פסיכולוגי בהבנה הזאת. צריך לעבור טיפה הכרה בדבר הזה, משהו צריך להיות לו.
He's describing a situation where a person needs to go through a psychological process because he's already producing more than he is. So
you want this transition to also be egoistic.
I don't want to. He says a person produces for the whole world anyhow, but he uses it for himself. So he just needs to go through a psychological process to understand it, and only then can he begin to enjoy the process.
Correct.
How do we do it? Because my nature is for myself. It wants for itself. It makes a calculation here, 60% suffering in this whole process. So how, despite the suffering, how do we keep continue with it? Because what? Do we want to suffer? No.
He lies to himself that he imagines that he does it for himself.
So how do we let go of it? Because this is something that is all of humanity suffers. What should happen so that we...
So our goal is to save humanity?
Our goal is to go through a process on ourselves in order to be able to bring it to all of humanity. It's a psychological process that we need to go through. That's what he says in the excerpt. We're not talking about spirituality now. Even a simple psychological process. So that during life we will know that we're doing work in vain. So, yes. So what would be easier for us? Only to bring humanity to the realization that if they work outwards, even in their intention, this whole system would change.
This is what the wisdom of Kabbalah is saying.
But he's describing it psychologically here.
Okay, psychological.
So we need to convince the public psychologically.
Okay, try and see how they understand it.
Right, it's impossible.
Why impossible?
Because there's not a tiny bit of recognition that we're taking for ourselves. No understanding that we're receiving for ourselves. I'm talking about outside. When you talk to people, they don't understand what you're saying.
Yes, you're right. What will we do?
Oren,
please.
Rav, it says here, he wants to enjoy himself. Property, covets, what the heart covets, etc. He wants to take pleasure. That's clear. He wants to enjoy himself. In the last paragraph, it says, if the direction were to change from self-perception to bestowal, then the individual would enjoy all the produces he produces without much pain.
Yes, yes.
I understand wanting to enjoy. I want to enjoy anything possible every moment.
This is our will to receive demands then.
Right. This is what I understand. But what's written in the end is what I don't understand.
This is all a private calculation, as one works for oneself. But in a global calculation, the individual produces more than he receives for his own pleasure and sustenance. Thus, if the direction were to change from self-reception to bestowal, the individual would enjoy the entire produce he produces without much pain. And so what do you want by this?
We began with wanting to enjoy. That's our nature.
Yes.
So what's the alternative?
There's no alternative. He's telling you that here you are still working for others, for everyone. If the direction were to change from self-reception to bestowal, the individual would enjoy the entire produce he produces without much change. So what changes? The intention changes. The intention that he enjoys from giving pleasure to everyone else. And before he was suffering from having to bestow to others, from giving pleasure to others.
Is there pleasure in it?
There is pleasure in it, of course.
What's the pleasure?
Pleasure that he fulfills others, that in that he identifies with the Creator. Okay.
Ken.
Rav, basically, he's saying in that final paragraph, he says the problem is the produce, how much he produces, and the solution is that everyone will have enough. But we know that the problem is the will to receive that constantly grows and grows. the production is not the problem. So what's the contradiction here? I don't understand why he's given this final solution of the output being enough for everyone, but that's not the root of the problem.
Because a person will not want to fill his will to receive. He will not want to fill his will to receive. Because he will see in advance how this action is an ending, and it never fills him. It empties him, if anything.
I'm also trying to understand the excerpt. He begins by saying that the whole difficulty is in changing our nature. And at first glance, it seems like something that is above human nature. And then all of a sudden, no, it's just a psychological matter, psychological change. What's the thing that turns this inconceivable, impossible thing that without the help and upper force we're stuck and we can't get out of it into some conceptual change that is possible?
If we would agree without the Creator, yeah, that doesn't exist.
Yeah?
If we would agree to reach such actions that everyone cares for everyone else, what would be bad?
Because there is a calculation that a person makes, how much pleasure he gets, how much suffering, and he'll always be in a deficit.
Why in a deficit?
Because the pleasure is always less than the efforts he makes. That's what he says here. I have 20% pleasure, 80% suffering.
If we are not in mutual support.
Right. So he says the solution is to shift from personal calculation to the general calculation. So if I calculate for all of humanity for a general calculation, then humanity too is suffering. Humanity too is in deficit.
Why in a deficit?
Because if you look again from the perspective where you still haven't changed your nature, you're in the will to receive, which is impossible, it's above nature, but you shift from a personal calculation to a general calculation, meaning I don't look only at my pleasure and suffering, but at the pleasure and suffering of humanity. Still here, from that perspective, it seems like humanity is suffering more than it is in pleasure.
But this is because it isn't in a general consensus.
So basically, the fact that it seems at first glance above nature to a shift that it's only a psychological shift is a matter of agreement, accepting it?
Yes.
The psychological change you talked about is the intention. I mean, if I change the intention, that's all the psychological change. But I don't understand why changing the intention gives me more pleasure. I don't see pleasure in it.
Why? If you're connected to everyone and you all are as one man in one heart and you keep something, why is this called that you will not have pleasure?
Why am I doing this? What would I get out of it? If, for example, I'm a very wealthy man, I have a lot of money, why should I give it? I have it. Why should I give it to everyone?
In such a case,
you're correct. Maybe. Yes.
So how do I change my intention? The intention should have bigger support here, higher support here.
No, you will not be able to hold on like that.
So why is it not clear? Because this is, it's a psychological change, and it seems to me like, I mean, I'm sure if Baal HaSulam says something, it's true, but according to what I understand on my level, in order to change this intention, I have to get a greater reward.
If it will be accepted by the majority, you will switch your intention without any effort. Without any effort.
Thank you.
Okay. Yes.
We see that humanity often tries to apply this psychological change to a certain group, that everyone has one goal, and we can all enjoy being in brotherhood together toward the same goal, and then everyone enjoys it. But then the Creator interferes. He intervenes and awakens a hatred between them, disagreements. Suddenly they aren't willing the other to enjoy, you know. If you take out one of my eyes in return for taking out the neighbor's two eyes, I'll enjoy it. So there's like a force from above that doesn't allow such states to remain.
So what is the question?
So the question is, why does the Creator not want us to remain in that state? What more does He need? Let's say this group that did it, why can't it stay this way? Why doesn't He want it? Why does He intervene and add the evil inclination into it?
Through the work with the evil inclination, we can reach His degree.
So there's not enough pleasure in that state. The Creator wants to give more pleasure, and that's why He does it.
Of course, we then reach infinite, unlimited pleasure, whole.
So we have to make that psychological shift at every level, so there is a constant addition here of will to receive.
Yes.
Beseder.
Okay.
Bakasha, Adon.
Please, sir.
Rav,
when I read the article, I keep getting the thought, how do we change from 20% pleasure to 80% pleasure in life?
Very well, you're smart. And?
How do we do it? How do I, for example, we are studying the wisdom of Kabbalah. How can I change my life and everybody else's life? How do we change it into 80% pleasure? And what pleasure are we looking for here?
We are looking for pleasure, fulfillment. And it doesn't matter what fulfillment. As long as it's complete and eternal. And these two components, whole, complete, and eternal, they bring us to a state where we have to reach. We have to arrive to the very things that the Torah demands of us. Otherwise, it will not hold on.
And the changes that are required don't come. There are pleasures I feel from physical actions that I do. But how internally, my internality doesn't feel that there is any pleasure in giving to others. So why is it like that? How do I come to a state that I receive pleasure in giving to others?
Why is there no such thing that a person receives pleasure and gives to others?
Yes.
Only to the extent that you feel that those people belong to you, the group, your friends, your children, because you don't have a natural connection. By attracting the light that reforms, we begin to feel that we all belong to the same system. And therefore, we don't have any challenge to give, to bestow to one another. To enter the mutual field of pleasure.
Thank you, Av.
Okay.
No.
Rav, זה דווקא השאלה שלי.
I have a question. He does something very interesting here. He says, in a general balance, you'll always have seemingly 100% work, but you have vessels of pleasure only for part of it. And in the other part, you have to develop new vessels, vessels of bestowal. And in them, you can develop pleasure. In other words, if we don't make this transition, we'll never be able to develop 100% pleasure from all the effort.
Correct.
So what we need to build between us is vessels of bestowal.
To build opposite vessels than what we have, you are correct.
Thank you.
Ken.
Yes.
Thank you. A friend is asking, what about rich people? Do they enjoy more than those who suffer? Because Baal HaSulam writes we shouldn't relate to them.
I didn't understand.
Wealthy people, do they enjoy more or do they suffer? That's what he's asking.
Wealthy people, they enjoy more and suffer more. Anyone who expands his possessions has the ability in both directions to be either in pleasure, in joy, or suffering.
But which is more? Because Baal HaSulam writes that rich people usually suffer more.
No, that I don't know. I haven't reached that.
I'm trying to understand this. The whole article, he spreads the structure of society, explains why there's no peace, why there are conflicts, why there will always be people who are dissatisfied. He describes human nature. And in the end, he makes this sharp turn and says, but if you put it all aside, and we develop, you know, vessels of bestowal, everything will be fine. It's as if he puts aside everything he said in the beginning, this whole explanation about human nature. That connection is what I'm missing. How do we connect between human nature, where one wants this, another wants that, another wants that? And then he says, wait a minute, ignore your nature and focus on what I'm pointing to in the end, the vessels of bestowal.
Because through that you solve all of the problems. Why do you need to be every time in those personal matters? If you rise above them, you don't have any problems. You are included in order to bestow.
So his answer to each of those natures, the quick and the weak and those who pursue truth and those who pursue peace, he tells them, you will not have any peace and quiet unless you develop vessels of bestowal, because there's abundance, there's everything here, but you don't feel it.
Yes.
Okay. The other thing is this whole topic of, I assume he deliberately doesn't mention the Creator. But in the end, we do have to get this power from an external source.
Of course, without you receiving the force of bestowal from the Creator, how will you be able to move anything?
In other words, although he says it's a psychological change, and although he tells them you're already producing more than you need to enjoy, to make this change, you in the end still have to...
No.
There is no other way.
I don't want to ask about this article, actually, because this article was sealed, stopped, in a place where you study the wisdom of Kabbalah, you learn everything, go and work. And I want to ask about one sentence you said in the lesson that really stings me. And I'm sure many other friends, because we do exert, but we don't demand enough. We are the ones who received the privilege. You gave us the point in the heart. You brought us to attend to the lesson to us. We make efforts, but we don't demand enough. Now, a few days ago, we are facing several days where we have an opportunity. How do we demand enough?
No, ta'asu cheshbon, ta'asu mishal.
No, make a questionnaire of the group and see how can we demand of the Creator to give us finally what we're lacking to reach the purpose of creation.
Sheyiten lanu lavin ma chaser.
To allow us to understand, to feel what is lacking, how to turn, to whom to turn, everything we can receive from Him. There is no problem. Just so you know.
Ken.
Yes.
In the lesson, you said that we are obligated to be in Avut according to our degree. So, based on this article, how can we reconcile all the parts that are being talked about here if everyone can only act according to how the light is influencing them towards our development?
This is enough. Rather, what do you ask? For me to be like the Creator from the beginning? Everyone who is acting out of how much they feel and how much the influence of the Creator is awakened in him. And this is enough for us to receive together and accordingly to draw from the Creator the general light that reforms.
Yeah, that we understand. But the article seems to have like parts for both sides of the kli, both the rosh and the guf. So, who has what responsibility over who? Or how do you bring these two parts together so that it becomes one vessel?
They connect if we aim them at a single goal. If we aim them towards a single goal, then they connect.
Okay, one last question. Rav, today we enter a very special holiday, and it's a global holiday, both for the Kli Olami and the friends in Israel. Yes. And we wanted to find out what you feel about our development and our advancement so far, because this is the most important Shavuot we've ever had since Bnei Baruch came together. So we want to ask you, what do you feel about how prepared we are for this method and how prepared are we for this reception? And what would you recommend in terms of how we should come into this special holiday moving forward?
It's a good question. We'll come tomorrow morning and we'll discuss it. Also, throughout these days, we're entering study, the reading, prayer. I think we have before us all the opportunities, and all the friends that I see before us are also in the same questions, in the same states, both men and women. We need to demand of ourselves connection and addressing the Creator. There is no bigger pleasure for the Creator other than us demanding from Him. And this is our problem. This is our work, to connect between us and to address, to turn to the Creator.
So what do we take out of this lesson, please?
That we need to be closer, more aimed towards the goal, and to feel one another close.
Toda rabba.
Moshe.
Moshe.
A few announcements. Together, all is one. Unity evening for the Shavuot holiday. We're inviting you to a world unity evening for Shavuot. Sunday, May 28th at 6 p.m. Israel time. The event will be broadcast on the Aravut system and on Sviva Tova. Together, we will celebrate with a meal, Shivat Chavarim, and talk with Rav. We'll also watch a movie, 10 Steps to the Light, entry from 18 and above. A link will be sent to everyone. The broadcasts for today, from 10 to 10:30, news program with Dr. Michael Lightman recorded. From 10:30 to 10:50, recorded conversation with Dr. Michael Lightman. From 11:45 to 12, lesson preparation. From 12 to 1:30, afternoon lesson with Kabbalist Dr. Michael Lightman live. And from 2:30 to 3:30 meal live. Noon lesson today, tomorrow, and on Saturday will take place in the study hall and will be open for students of Kabbalah for all. Now we'll sing a song together.
Let your heart listen, shoulder to shoulder. You won't be alone. Love is around the deepest ocean. Together we're drawn in. I won't let go. It feels so good to be a part of you. This is what there.
moment when we are together, together as one.